This is Justice Radio. I'm Catherine Besteman, an abolitionist educator at Colby College, the coordinator of the Freedom in Captivity Initiative, and a current Soros Justice Fellow. Today, I am thrilled to be talking with co-directors Aaron Bonner and Shayna Lanaya about their work with the Justice Arts Coalition, which is a national organization that unites teaching artists, arts advocates, artists who are or have been incarcerated and their allies, in order to harness the transformative power of the arts to reimagine justice. So delighted to have you here, Aaron and Shayna. Thanks so much for joining us. So I'd like to start by asking, let's just start with an overview of the organization that you co-direct, the Justice Arts Coalition. So Aaron, I want to come to you first. Can you get us started by what do you do? Why do you exist? What's the history? What's the wonder behind your work?
Yes. So I am Aaron Bonner. I am the Creative Arts Director here at Justice Arts Coalition. I think that you kind of touched on some things that I want listeners to know about us is that we unite artists that are most impacted by the legal system to harness the transformative power of justice and to reimagine justice, right? And again, just want to reiterate that we are a 501(c). We are located in Tacoma Park, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C. Our organization, and also I will mention that artists that are in our network are incarcerated artists and formerly incarcerated artists. So in our network, Justice Arts Coalition, we provide art storage, we provide digitizing services, we host portfolios online, we also have galleries and art exhibitions for artists. That looks like collaborations with galleries in particular, it looks like collaborations with art organizations, justice organizations. And then we also have community advocates that we work alongside with regularly.
Wow, amazing. Shayna, do you have anything to add?
Sure. You know, we store over 3,000 artwork pieces, stewarding one of the largest collections of artwork by currently and formerly incarcerated artists. And 2003 alone, we featured over 100 artists in exhibitions and galleries. Our network is comprised of over 700 artists nationwide, and our website hosts over 400 artist portfolios.
So you really are sort of art central for art by justice impacted artists, which is amazing. It's a growing movement, perhaps, across the United States. I believe the Justice Arts Coalition has existed as the Justice Arts Coalition since about 2019. And I'm wondering, Aaron, I'm going to come back to you first. I want to ask what pulled you into this work. Why arts? Why the Justice Arts Coalition? Why are you doing this work?
Yeah. So I have been a creative since I was a little kid. I was painting, drawing as a child. I also dealt with a lot of anxiety and I was hypercritical of myself when I was younger. And I found that art allowed me to express myself in ways when I couldn't do it via words. And as a visual artist now, I still find that to be true. When I can't find my words, I lean into art as a way to express myself and also give power to myself, right? So I believe art acts as not only a way to communicate, but also it is a form of resistance. I studied Bachelor of Fine Arts and I got my degree in sculpture. And whenever I started working in movement organizing, which has been years ago, I realized once I got into movement organizing, I was like, hey, these two things can live together. These two things that I'm very passionate about, they can work together. It was just a matter of finding out how they came together and what that looked like for me, right, as an artist and as an organizer. And then I found myself in JAC, and the intersection was perfect. And not only did I see the power in organizing and movement and see the power of art, but the two together, it was just like an aha moment. And I think that this is, you know, where I am supposed to be for a number of reasons, right? Personal and for the greater good.
So are you still an artist? You're still a creative?
I am. You know, I haven't practiced in a couple of years now, but I don't think that, I don't think it ever changes. That is absolutely still in me. And I absolutely call myself an artist, and I am an artist. And it's something that I talk about often, and also to how artists that Shayna and I work with day in and day out inspire me and remind me to get back to work, you know?
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. Thank you. Shayna, how about you? What pulled you into this work?
So I'm the daughter of an incarcerated parent. My dad's been in and out of institutions for the majority of my life, so around 30 years or so. And like many families with incarcerated loved ones, we connected through phone calls and letters. And my dad was a beautiful artist. He, in fact, I have a piece he drew for me right on my desk here at work. It's a black dragon with a shield on its back with a heart that says, I love you, and my dad's initials, RJ. And what I really love about the Justice Arts Coalition is that we do the work of seeing artists like my dad and believing people truly deserve to be seen for more than their worst days.
Thanks. What I'm hearing from you are a couple of different things. I want to probe into this a bit more. Aaron, you talked about the healing power of art, art as almost the therapeutic power of art, the art is self-making, a way to literally imprint yourself, you know, in beauty perhaps, or in some kind of visual representation of yourself, your feelings, your world. Certainly prison, we all know, is a deeply traumatizing place. And so the ability of art to bring some kind of therapeutic calm, or at least just practice, to people surviving that environment is really quite profound. And Shana, you talked about art as a form of connection and connectivity, you know, your ability to be connected to your dad in part through his ability to express himself, and the ability of art to help either not really solidify, but sustain and almost insist on an identity in an institution that is all about destroying your identity, all about erasing you from society, invisibilizing you, cutting you off. And so I'm hearing you describe art as, you know, sort of therapeutic and powerful and identity making. But I'm also wondering about the relationship of art as this form of creative expression, therapeutic practice, identity making, and justice. So where does justice come in? Aaron, can we come back to you and ask you to talk a little bit about justice in the Justice Arts Coalition, justice in relation to art making inside?
Yes, absolutely. I think you kind of mentioned this just now, but I think a lot of us know, maybe not everyone, but that artistic freedom is often threatened, and in particularly inside of prisons and jails, and is dangerous. It's not only art as this idea of self-expression, but it's a way to inform. It is a way to educate, right? And I think that art challenges us to. And I'm, in this moment, I'm specifically thinking of a visual art, right? Art challenges us to think of the world in a way that we may not have done before, right? So if you omit that, if you get rid of that, we're going to be using our brains in this, you know, very parallel, narrow way, when I think art it takes us somewhere else, even differently than these art forms of art. But again, speaking visual art to visual art specifically, even in a way that maybe movies don't do, or writing doesn't do. But I think a lot of visual art forces you to kind of, because it's not always literal, right? It can be, but now you have to take the time to dissect yourself. Now you have to take the time to really figure out, what is this that I'm seeing? I don't know. So you have to kind of accept the fact that you don't know something, right? And I think saying, hey, I don't know this information, whether that is art, how that can kind of like transform our minds into thinking more openly about the world. And then also, you know, art, I think there's revelation art. You know, we talked about rehabilitation and healing in art and the joy in art, right? And I know for me, even if I don't necessarily take the time to dissect or really get critical with art pieces, I think that it, is beautiful to look at. And I think there's a lot of power in just viewing something too, right? There's a lot of strength in that.
Thank you. Thank you. I love the point that you make about beauty. What you didn't say this, but what came to my mind was beauty almost as a form of dignity, and the ability to express joy as also a form of dignity, as also a form of justice, as also a human right, especially inside a place where there's not a lot of emphasis on enabling or allowing joy. So that's really revelatory, as well as the idea that art can cause us to think in new ways, cause us to see things that perhaps we couldn't imagine before. Art can be provocative and invitational and mind-blowing. And so the relationship between that and justice, are you suggesting, Aaron, that by seeing things in a new way, perhaps a piece by an incarcerated artist that plays with the idea of justice or dignity or joy, that causes you to put that together with this person lives in a cage, to question ideas about, is that justice, putting a person in a cage? Is that justice? I'm just wondering if that's kind of where you're going with the idea of what constitutes justice in relation to the work of the Justice Arts Coalition.
Yeah, I think so. I think also too, whenever you're looking at art from an art incarcerated artist, I think it does challenge viewers to like to even consider the fact that somebody can make this inside, right? And you know, I'm trying to bring this back around, but it also makes me think about access to certain things and people not even recognizing that artists are able to do these things inside. So in turn, I also think that when people see kind of the humanity of artists inside and not, you know, because people folks go inside and then they're separated from the rest of us. But this is a reminder that like, hey, I am still here. And not only am I still here, but this is what I can do while I'm here, even while being inside, right? So I think that that kind of forces us to reconsider what it does look like to be inside and maybe how that can change or how that can shift, or well, what would it look like if maybe you weren't there, regardless of what brought us here, right?
Absolutely. Thank you. Shane, how about you? What's the relationship between the arts in the way that the Justice Arts Coalition works and justice?
So I really think of it as artists are visionaries who push us to reimagine the world. And our role at the heart of it is to just transform the way we see each other. Like art, we've seen so much artwork that, bridges and pushes us to envision things. And there's been things like defense campaigns, bail funds that we've been a part of, and calls for court reform. And we believe that self-expression is a right, whether through paint or poetry or comics. They're telling the stories that need to be told. And like Aaron mentioned earlier, there's a deliberate effort to silence these voices in these stories. We see all the time what the impact of censorship can have, where an artist will tell us that they sent a piece of work, and we have to assume that maybe the prison mailroom confiscated it. And, because oftentimes we'll see artists from these spaces exposing some really brutal truths, right? Especially during the pandemic. We had so many pieces talking about the lack of protection, healthcare, and basic dignity that wasn't afforded to them. And sometimes they'll share with us about the violence and the subpar food and the inhumane conditions. But that's not all, right? Jack artists create far beyond what we think of as prison art, quote unquote prison art. There's landscapes, there's portraits, there's sci-fi worlds, there's critical commentary about current events. And their work just spans a universe of ideas, pushing back against the narratives that try to limit them. And that's really how I see the intersection of justice, right? As that people are pushing us with these new ideas, with limited resources, with limited access to even art supplies, to teaching programs. Many of the artists that we work with are self-taught, or are taught in community, where they're each convening groups to study together. And we find that so beautiful.
And
Thank
that also, I want to add to that. That makes me think of two Jack Network artists who essentially what Shayna was saying started met each other inside, started working together inside, and the two of these artists are in the DMV, and now they're best buddies, collab together, are in shows together, and are working full time as visual artists, and it's exciting, right? Like you're again, you're teaching one another and learning from one another, and these are beautiful artists, amazing work.
Yeah, you're referencing the community building aspects of
Yeah.
co-creating, right? Envisioning together, creating together. That's wonderful. Thank you. This is Justice Radio. Today, I'm so thrilled to be talking with co-directors Erin Bonner and Shaylin Lonaya about their work with the Justice Arts Coalition. I want to go back to a point, Shayna, that you just raised about access to materials. Here in Maine right now, all funding in our prisons for art supplies is frozen. And yet, one of the things that we know about incarcerated artists is their incredible creativity at making art with tea bags and coffee grounds and butter and salt and other kinds of things. Can you talk a little bit about how do people inside get access to art supplies if you're not providing them, but art supplies that are available to them through commissary, turning M&Ms into paint, for example? Erin, let's start with you.
You do have some artists who have programs in their facilities and have access to paints. A lot of well, let me start with this. A lot of artists do create work inside with paint and generally acrylic paints, right? And some facilities have programming, right? There's time for these artists to really go inside and hone in on their creativity and their skills. Whereas you have other artists to what said a while ago, maybe making paintings on t-shirts with coffee grounds or kind of making their canvases. Maybe artists are making sculptures out of like packs of gum that they've kept over time and building through that. And then you do have some artists that don't have any. And they use what they have. And we might just get paper with pencil on it. Beautiful work. But it truly varies, and I think it does speak to that ability to persevere in the midst of not having some of these things, and the ability to create these beautiful pieces of artwork with limited resources. So it truly does vary facility to facility. Shane, if you want to touch on that a little bit, please do.
Yeah, I'm reminded of one of my favorite pieces by Tomas. He's actually one of our board members here at JAC, who recently was released from prison. And one of my favorite pieces is it's called, I think, Institution Nutrition. And he just used the commissary, like the food commissary packets, in order to create this piece that has like 100%, like it's obviously satire of like 100% fruit juice and 100% like nutrition, like, because we know that folks inside don't get the best food, and they have to be so creative in order to create, to express themselves. Like, what's I'm also reminded, I have to uplift our tattooers. Like, if they don't have a canvas, they literally make one out of each other, and that is a beautiful and rich history that. And I'm so devastated to hear that Maine currently doesn't have isn't allowing folks to express themselves in a way that they truly deserve.
Yeah, thanks. Budget freeze. It's interesting the things that get frozen and the things that we still are willing to pay for, right? Like, I got sidetracked for a minute thinking about the art room that exists at MSP and how there's no supplies in there right now. It is totally heartbreaking. How do people find their way to you? How do people on the inside, in particular, locate the Justice Arts Coalition, get their work out to you? How do you find people that you can then support, represent, showcase their work? I'll go to either one to start this.
A lot of times we now are mentioned from inside, right? You have an artist that was in a show, in an opening, and it's word of mouth. A lot of artists will reach out to us and say, "Hey, my friend so-and-so said that, I can send you some awesome artwork. And we say, okay, great. We love that. Here is what we do, and we'd be happy to accept your artwork, and we will store it here in our office, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, it's truly turned into this like community of folks inside who now know that like, hey, Jack is a space that you can have creative freedom with. And another thing to note is that a lot of artists, once they're making these pieces and they're finished, they cannot keep them. They have to have somewhere to go, right? So not only are artists excited to have an organization that, cares about their work and loves their work and the potential to sell, the potential for this work to go in our opening. You don't have to just get rid of it, right? You don't have to be worried about, maybe a guard or whomever coming in and completely demolishing what you've spent time creating. So I say all that to say, I think that there a lot of people lean into us also for that. I think some people come into Jack just kind of like really casual, like, hey, I heard about you. Just thought I'd reach out. And then we really connect and we really get to know each other. And then we build this, what I deem to be a really amazing and exciting relationship.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Shana, in terms of your programming, then you've got this massive collection of artwork that you all store and care for and love. And then do you do the coordinating of putting together exhibitions, invite people in? How do you make this artwork available to the public?
Yeah, so usually what happens, okay, let me think of, I want to talk about Monty. Yeah, talk
Yeah,
about
yeah.
Monty. Yeah.
So I will say really quickly, and then we can go into that because I think that's this is like perfect. So it varies. Organizations may reach out to us, galleries may reach out to us,
Schools.
schools reach out to us, like, hey, we found your work, we're interested in doing a show with you. What does that look like? We also hold time and space in our headquarters here in Tacoma Park to bring community members in. A freedom showcase is what we call this. Community members come in and respond to work, right? And it's an opportunity for the community to give their feedback to artists and let artists know, like, hey, your art is here. We're loving on it. In the interim, from the from the show, when the show's and when they aren't happening, right? So it's a little bit of both, right? We collab with other organizations, galleries, and we currently have a show up right now that Shane is going to speak a little bit about. And this is like the perfect example of how, the relationship builds and evolves.
Oh, good. Shayna, please.
So one of our artists, Monty, we call him Monty, but his name is Kevitt. He's a prolific writer and editor at Nash News in Tennessee. And he came up with this really rad idea called Prison Reimagined Presidential Portraiture Project. And it's a unique exhibition that features presidential portraits curated by artists living inside and paired with narratives of presidents' record on incarceration, including personal writing about like life behind bars with poetic visions of what true justice could look like. And the way that Monty went about this, which is really unique, and I'm so proud that we were able to partner with him, is that he convened a committee of artists and writers inside to curate this show. And they from the way that they operated in selecting pieces, putting out art submissions, working together, and asserting their vision is something we believe that should be modeled because, too often, and we appreciate partnering with organizations. And I think there are a lot of, advocates and businesses are really well-meaning, will request, quote unquote, prison art, wanting art donations, right, to highlight issues important to them or policies that are important to them. But we really think it's past time to challenge this norm and to make sure that, we're providing the actual resources and mic to make sure like the artist's vision is a reality. And that includes like how you would always, we should compensate artists for their work. It is labor. So this idea to constantly ask for donations, it's just, it's, we gotta retire that.
So you're not only supporting artists making work, insisting that they're recognized as artists in a professional sense, providing a showcase for showcasing their work, but you're also enabling curatorial practice as well, which is which is really important. Aaron, you want to say something?
Well, Shana, I'm sorry if I just missed this and you said it, but I want to uplift even more the fact that Monty is currently inside and curating this program, right? And again, just another way to think about the ways in which we still contribute to our communities while we're inside, and all of us outside have the opportunity to be a part of this show and engage and learn and see it because of Monty, who is inside.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. In my experience with many people I know who are inside Maine prisons, their desire to continue to be able to contribute to life on the outside is so great, but the actual opportunities to do that are completely constrained. And so being able to contribute art is a way of contributing a piece of yourself. It's a way of contributing, to community, being able to imagine yourself as in connection with community on the outside. And that's a magical thing. One of the things I wanted to ask you is I've noticed on your website when you were just talking about Monty, you're able to use full names of artists. We're prohibited from doing that in Maine. So when we have exhibitions of work by incarcerated artists, we must use either only their first name or just their initials. And we're told that it's against policy to use an artist's full name, which feels like another form of invisibilizing. I'm wondering if you've ever run into that in other states.
It really depends, right? So we try to, as much as possible, to give the artists the autonomy to decide how their work is displayed and also how they're mentioned, right? Some artists use a chosen name, some artists prefer to be anonymous. And should in my experience, I haven't yet seen an institution reach out to us to tell us that an artist can't be promoted or their work be shown in a certain way.
Yeah, which I think is as it should be. Quickly to wrap up, how do listeners find you and find your work and the work of the artists that you're representing?
Yeah, you can find us at www.justiceartscoalition.org. We also have an upcoming, so the presidential portraits exhibition. We have an upcoming reception on Saturday, February 8th at Workhouse Arts Center in Lorton, Virginia.
We are also on Instagram and Twitter, and you can find us by our name,
Yeah.
Justice
Fantastic.
Arts.
Thank you. Listeners, go out and check out this art. You will be stunned. Thank you, Aaron, Shayna, so much for joining us. With thanks to bluesman Samuel James for his gift of music that opens and closes each episode in our series, to Aaron Pyle, our sound engineer, and to Daria Cullen, our executive producer, we are Justice Radio.